Welcome to Daily in the Word.
Hi, I'm John, and I graduated from West Coast Baptist College in 2006. Now I'm serving God full-time in a growing local church as a music pastor. West Coast prepared me both academically and spiritually for a great future in ministry.
Hi, I'm Sarah, and I graduated from West Coast in 2006. Since that time, the Lord has allowed me to serve Him full-time, developing Sunday school curriculum, teaching senior high girls, and serving in Christian radio.
Hi, I'm Jeremy, and I graduated from West Coast Baptist College in 1996. Since that time, I've been serving the Lord full-time as an assistant pastor in youth and singles ministry.
Thank you for your prayers and support for the students and vision of West Coast Baptist College. For more information about West Coast or to share in the vision, visit us at wcbc.edu.
When the confusion of culture clouds your vision and your perspective, the Word of God gives clarity. Next on Daily in the Word with Dr. Paul Chappell, we're going to discover 2020 vision by reclaiming God's perspective on today's circumstances. Stay with us. Seems like the busyness of our lives and the chaotic nature of our culture at large tends to draw us into somewhat of a cloudy perspective of our lives and our purpose and why we're even here and what our lives are even about. And if you're like me, that's frustrating. But when you come to the Word of God, God tends to draw away all of the clouds and give you crystal clear perspective on what's important and what really matters. Welcome to today's edition of Daily in the Word with Dr. Paul Chappell. We're going to gain 2020 vision today from the Word of God, a series by Pastor Chappell that's designed to help you have God's vision and God's perspective on the priorities of life. 2020 Vision is the title of this series, and we're looking forward to every step in the journey. If you miss one of the messages, or if you'd like to hear recent broadcasts of Daily in the Word, visit us online at dailyintheword.org. Once again, that's dailyintheword.org. By the way, we have a gift for you when you call or write to us this month. I'll tell you about that after today's message. But first, here's Paul Chappell to introduce today's message.
In Acts 26, we see the Apostle Paul standing before King Agrippa. And as he speaks, he asks the Lord to open the eyes of this man. I believe one of the great problems in America today are people who have closed their eyes, their hearts, and their minds to the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray today for America, and let's ask God to open their eyes as we study from Acts 26, verses 1 through 18.
And at the end of the goad, there would be a sharp point, and the owner of the oxen would prick against that oxen until he would get up and get going again. Now Jesus says, Saul of Tarsus, it's hard for you to kick against the pricks. Even as the ox would kick against the pricks of the farmer, so it was that Saul had been kicking against the Holy Spirit of God. He had been kicking against God, and while the Lord had convicted his heart, he was trying to act as though he didn't want that conviction. Now, what in particular terms do we suppose that God had been using in Saul's life to convict him? Well, I believe without a doubt, one of the things that was convicting him was the way that a man named Stephen had died. We won't take the time to go back in the book of Acts, but some of you know that the very first martyr for the Christian faith was a man by the name of Stephen. And you know the way he died was by stoning. And you know that as the men and women who hated his profession of faith, they began to take rocks and throw them against him, as Stephen fell to the ground, the Bible says, even as life was going out of his body, he looked up into heaven and said, Father, forgive them. Don't lay this to their charge. Now, the Bible says that while that was happening, there was someone in authority overseeing it, whose name was Saul of Tarsus. In particular, in Acts 22 and verse 20, it says, And when the blood of thy martyr Stephen was shed, I also was standing by and consenting unto his death and kept the raiment of them that slew him. And I believe that as Saul watched Stephen die that day, As Saul heard Stephen say, "Don't lay this to their charge," Saul said to himself, "That man has something that I don't have. He has a kind of a God that I don't have." And would be to God this week at your work, would be to God this week in your carpool, would be to God this week in your lifetime, that someone would look at you and say, "He has something I don't have. She has something that I don't have." I pray that our testimony would bring about reason for others to come to the Lord Jesus as their Savior. Oh, oftentimes people are under conviction just by the presence of godly Christian people. I heard a story told of a golf round which was enjoyed by President Ford and Billy Graham and Jack Nicklaus and another professional golfer. They came around the 18th hole. They finished up there at the green, and three of the men walked off fairly in good spirits. But that fourth man, that fourth professional golfer, he walked off that green and he was mad. And as he walked off, he'd had a terrible round, and he said to his friend, he said, "I don't need Billy Graham stuffing that stuff and his religion down my throat." And he went off over to the practice round area, and as he was practicing, his friend came up and said, "Wow, was Billy trying to preach to you, or was he telling you that you're a sinner, or what exactly did he say?" And the man said, "Well, to be truthful, he never really did mention religion." That's how some people are. Just watching your car go to church this morning. Just seeing your Bible on your desk. Just knowing you leave a little early to get to a service. Just knowing that you try to have prayer with your children. It's a conviction to them. It's a pricking to them. And there are people all over the Antelope Valley being pricked right now by the Holy Spirit. And the Bible says the Holy Spirit witnesses in every city. And our prayer this week is that we might meet some people with whom the Lord has been dealing, and that we might bring them to the Savior. And this is what took place in Paul's life. He had been fighting God for a long time. By the way, if you're fighting God today and you've been putting off salvation, why don't you give in to the Lord this morning? If you've been fighting God as a Christian in some area, why don't you say yes to Him today? Paul's pardon was convicting. Paul's pardon was compassionate. Here was the Lord Jesus. He said, "You're persecuting me." And by the way, whenever the church is attacked, it's the Lord who is attacked. And he said, "You're persecuting me." And yet God compassionately loved him and was merciful towards him, even though he had lived such a terrible life. We see this morning Paul's pedigree. He was a Pharisee and he persecuted the church. But we see his pardon, that even though he had been a wicked man, yet God loved him and Jesus died for him and his sins were completely forgiven as he met the Lord on the road to Damascus. Now, this brings us to the crux of the matter this morning, and that is Paul's purpose. Paul's purpose. You see, God has a purpose for every one of our lives. And it is more than your vocation. It is more merely than just some hobby that we enjoy. God has a specific purpose and plan for every life. Notice, if you will, in verse number 15. In verse 15, Paul says, "Who art thou, Lord?" And he said, "I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest." And he says, "But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose." Please note that word purpose. He said, there's a reason we're having this meeting today. And I submit to you this morning, there is a reason that God saved you. And it is beyond the fact that he wanted to give you an escape from hell and a home in heaven. I believe that God has a purpose for our lives. Yes, he loves us and he wants to save us. But he wants to have a usefulness and a purpose from our lives. As Ephesians, the Bible says in chapter 2 and verse 10, he has ordained us to be unto good works. Now notice the purpose in Paul's life. He says in verse 16, "To make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen and of those things in which I will appear unto thee." And so here we see that God has a purpose for our lives and that he desires that we would shine as lights in this world, and that there are two specific areas in which Paul was being challenged, and I believe that we are challenged this morning. The first area in verse 16, he says, "I have purpose to make thee a minister." Now, a minister simply means a servant or an under rower or one who is under the authority of another. And he says, "Saul, I have called you to be my minister." Now, I believe this morning that every child of God is called to ministry. Every one of us. You say, you mean I'm supposed to go be a missionary or a pastor? It may not be in that realm. But I say to you this morning that from God's perspective, you are not first and foremost a doctor or a nurse or a real estate agent or a truck driver or whatever you do for a living. You are first and foremost the servant of God. The other things are a means to an end, and the end is to glorify God. Now, so many folks get so caught up in what we do that they forget we are here to glorify God in this world. And he said, Saul, I know you're going to make some tents along the way, but your primary objective in life is to be my minister. And you are specifically to be a minister who tells of the resurrected Christ. Notice that in verse 16. You are going to tell of the things that you have seen and the things which you will hear from me. That would be the revealed word of God. You are to go about as my minister, serving in this realm of truth. Notice the second challenge given to Paul. He, in verse 16, he says, you will be a minister and a witness of these things. You will be a minister and a witness. I believe God has called us to be his servants and to be his witnesses in this generation in which we live. We are to tell others the good story, the good news of Jesus Christ. Now, you're going to find in this passage four or five objectives of a gospel witness of a Christian servant. Notice, if you will, in verse 18, what the objectives were and what the objectives are if we will fulfill God's purpose today. Notice what it says, verse 18, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Now here we see the objectives of a witness. God says, Paul, the first thing I want you to do as you go out into the Gentile world, I want you to open their eyes. You see, God says this world is blind spiritually. This world is in darkness spiritually. And oh, how their eyes need to be opened to the truth. And God wants to use us to present the truth. We cannot save souls. Only the Spirit can do that. But we are called to be witnesses, Jesus said in Matthew 28. And ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. And so a witness is one who opens someone's eyes to what God has said. Notice, secondly, in verse 18 it says, and to turn them from darkness to light. Now the Gentile world was a dark world spiritually. They had many pagans, places of worship in Thessalonica, in Ephesus. You had the goddess of Diana. You had the temple of Zeus. You had various places of pagan worship that included all types of worshiping the stars, the sun, all types of lust, all types of wickedness. God says they are in darkness. By the way, America is becoming more and more a nation of darkness as we sit here this morning. And I pray that through these floods and hurricanes, we might see some people wake up and say, as the Apostle Paul, Lord, what do you want me to hear and learn from this time? Because we see today wickedness creeping into the land. We see today many, some say half, of those who chat on the internet rooms for teenagers are adult men who are perverted men. We see the rock stars today with their dark side and their perversion, and we see the piercings, and we see the satanic dark side in teenagers painting their fingernails black and dyeing their hair black and giving themselves over to an influence that is not of God. Even this past week, I'll say more about it tonight, Starbucks on their cups now publicly advocating the homosexual lifestyle. You can't buy a cup of coffee without reading about what is good about this lifestyle. Why in the world would corporate America have to advocate and push this perverted, ungodly lifestyle over onto us? I'll tell you why. We live in a dark day, that's why, where people call right wrong and wrong right. And here Paul was challenged to go to the darkness of his day and to turn people from darkness to light. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 4:3, but if our gospel be hid, let's say it this way, if we don't pass out gospel tracts, if we don't preach the gospel, if we don't speak to our neighbor, if we are just an undercover Christian at work, if we never mention Christ to a relative, if our gospel be hid, the Bible says, it is hid to them that are lost. in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. You see, the God of this world has blinded so many people, and they've come to a place where they think that they don't need Jesus Christ. But here the Lord says, Saul, I'm going to send you to the Gentile world that their eyes might be open, that they might turn from darkness to light. Notice thirdly what it says there in verse 18. It says, and that they might receive, that they might be turned from the power of Satan unto the power of God. Now someone says, whoa, I can't do that. I can't go to someone addicted to meth or addicted to alcohol, and I can't single-handedly change that. I mean, that's bigger than me. Hey, you're exactly right. That's why we thank God for the message of this book right here. Paul said in Romans 1:16, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Listen, for it, the gospel, is the power of God unto salvation. And it's the power of God to those who believe, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Listen, when this message of Christ, when the power of his shed blood is applied to the heart and soul of a believing person, their life is changed from the inside out. And that is why this church exists, to bring the life-changing gospel of Jesus to the Antelope Valley and the regions beyond. Oh, how we thank God for the testimonies of lives that have been changed. I get a lot of letters from people sharing testimonies, and one of my favorites from a young girl in our church, she says, Dear Pastor, thank you for this church and for your preaching. I know that you work very hard to do that stuff. We are very happy to have you here. This year, my dad learned not to drink and not to smoke and how to be nice. Thank you, and God bless you. Isn't that a blessing? Now, some of you wives are going, well, my husband has learned how not to smoke, but I wish he'd learn how to be nice. Or vice versa, whatever the case is. But you know what that little girl's saying? She's saying, God is changing my dad's life. And there are people all over this valley who need to know that God can change their life. What does the gospel witness do? It opens eyes. It turns people from darkness to light. It delivers people from Satan's power to God's presence. But notice what else it says in verse 18. It says that they may receive the forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among them which are sanctified. In other words, it will bring the forgiveness of sins and the gift of eternal life. He says, Saul, I want you to go out now. You're going to become Paul the apostle, and you are going to spend your life telling people how their sins can be forgiven and how they might have a home in heaven for all of eternity. Hey, what a great thing to give your time to. What a great thing to give our resources to. This good news that Jesus Christ wants to forgive sins and give people a home in heaven for all of eternity. I heard the story of a man who lived in Spain. He and his son became estranged, and his heart was broken. His son was in his early 20s, and they'd had a quarrel, and the son ran away from home. And the father looked all over. He looked at neighbors' homes and relatives' homes, and he looked everywhere trying to find his son. Finally, some months later, in a moment of desperation, he went to the Madrid newspaper, and he took out a full-page ad, and the ad simply said, Dear Paco, meet me in front of the newspaper office at noon on Saturday. All is forgiven. I love you, your father. And that man, wanting his son Paco to come back home so badly, put the advertisement in the paper. He went down to the newspaper office at noon on Saturday, and the true story says there were 800 Pacos there to meet him, looking for the forgiveness and the love of their father. How many people today are wanting that forgiveness? How many people woke up this morning and just now are realizing what they did last night, realizing it was wicked and wrong and sinful? How many people who are going to act tomorrow like, oh, they had a great time over the weekend, and they're going to act like everything's together, yet they know they transgress the law of God. They know that they're not living for the Lord, and they need the forgiveness of God. And Paul is commissioned to go with that message of forgiveness. Colossians 1 and verse 12 says, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us to be meet to be partakers of the inheritance. In other words, God has seen fit to let us partake in heaven's glory. Notice verse 13, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood. Notice this, even the forgiveness of sin. Here the Lord says, Paul, I have a purpose for your life. I want you to be a minister. I want you to be a witness. Someone says, now, Pastor, when I go to Bible college, that's what I'm going to do. Well, I've got news for you. Paul had never been to one day's Bible college, but he had a testimony because he knew Jesus as his Savior. And I want to challenge you this week in a special way, as we have each morning and each evening this week, groups going out from this church to be ministers and witnesses, to be a part of it, to be a part at work of telling someone about Christ, inviting someone to the open house Sunday where they might hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. I believe our attitude should be what Paul's attitude was. In Acts chapter 9 in verse 6, I draw your attention to it at the bottom of your notes this morning. It says, and he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Let's say that together, shall we? Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? I challenge you this week to wake up tomorrow morning and say, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Tuesday morning, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Many of us, when we first got saved, that's pretty much what we were asking. Let's not stop asking that question. Lord, what wilt thou have me to do?
Well, you've been listening to Dr. Paul Chapel and the Daily in the Word radio broadcast coming to you from Lancaster, California, where Pastor Chapel serves as the senior pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and the president and founder of West Coast Baptist College. The series is 2020 Vision. We're discovering God's perspective and God's vision for our daily lives. If today's message has encouraged you and you'd like to hear it again, or perhaps refer a friend, or listen to recent messages in this series 2020 Vision, you can visit us online at dailyintheword.org. Once again, dailyintheword.org is a wonderful stop for spiritual resources to encourage your walk with Christ. You can listen to recent broadcasts, subscribe to a complimentary daily devotional from Dr. Chapel, or subscribe to the daily podcast and take Daily in the Word with you and listen to it at your leisure and at your convenience. Perhaps consider referring a friend to dailyintheword.org. Well, before we wrap up the program and share a gift with you, here's Pastor Chapel with a word of greeting.
I trust the broadcast and the lessons from Daily in the Word are a blessing in your life on a daily basis. And I'd like to take a moment to encourage you as a listener and friend of the Daily in the Word broadcast to consider making a donation to Daily in the Word. We are thrilled that God has allowed us to spread the broadcast across the nation on various stations, but we always appreciate the encouragement and support of faithful friends like you. Would you take a moment sometime today and perhaps remember us by donating online at dailyintheword.org? Just find the tab that says Donate, or perhaps you'd rather write a check and mail to Lancaster, California, a gift through Daily in the Word Ministries. We appreciate your prayers. We appreciate your support. Thank you for remembering us as we share the Word of God daily with you.
Well, thank you, Pastor. Friend, we sure would like to hear from you this month. It's a joy to know that our ministry is touching your heart on a daily basis. And when you take time to write to us or call us this month, we have a gift we'd like to send to you. It's a mini book entitled Your Pastor and You, written by Pastor Chapel. It will encourage your relationship with your pastor at your local church. It will help you be an encouragement to the man of God who teaches and nurtures and shepherds your life and your family. Again, it's entitled Your Pastor and You. We want to send this to you free of charge. It's just our way of saying thank you for listening. Thank you for taking a moment to let us know that our ministry is a part of your life. The easiest way to contact us is to visit us at dailyintheword.org. Once again, dailyintheword.org. You can click on the Contact Us tab and simply jot us an email. Let us know that this program is ministering to you. Also, when you're there, do consider contributing to this ministry, and your investment will help us to cover airtime costs on many of our stations and continue teaching and preaching the Word of God across the country. So your investment is a great investment into the work of God. The second way you can contact us is to just call us toll-free, 1-800-201-7748. Once again, that's 1-800-201-7748. And then finally, you can send a letter to Daily in the Word, 4020 East Lancaster Boulevard, Lancaster, California, 93535. Again, we rejoice to receive your letter, your email, or your phone call, and we would love to send you a copy of this little mini book entitled Your Pastor and You. Don't forget, our ministry is hosting a cruise to Alaska. You will enjoy the beauty of God's creation in a magnificent and marvelous way, as well as the preaching of Dr. Chappell and several guest speakers, and special music from the Lancaster Baptist Church and West Coast Baptist College. This cruise is happening August of 2011, just over 1 year from now. We're setting sail in August of 2011. We would love for you to join us. You can find out more information on the homepage of dailyintheword.org. Don't forget to be a part of the cruise to Alaska in 2011. Thanks for being a part of today's edition of Daily in the Word. And until next time, have a great day.